नमो नमः हरि ओम सदाशिव समारंभां शंकराचार्य मध्यमां अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्तां वंदे गुरु परंपरां ओम पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ओम शांति 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 श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ಬೃಹದಾರಣ್ಯಕ ಉಪನಿಷತ್ ಮುನಿಕಾಂಡಂ ಶಾಕಲ್ಯ ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮಣ ಮಂತ್ರ 3.9.26 ಅಂಡ್ ವಿ ಸಾ ದಿ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಫೋರ್ ಲೈನ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್ ಲೈನ್ 5 ಸ ಏಷ ನೇತಿ ನೇತ್ಯಾತ್ಮ ಅಗೃಹ್ಯೋ ನಹಿ ಗೃಹ್ಯತೆ ಅಶೀರ್ಯೋ ನಹಿ ಶೀರ್ಯತೆ ಅಸಂಗೋ ನಹಿ ನಹಿ ಸಜ್ಯತೆ ಅಸಿತೋ ನ ವ್ಯಥತೆ ನ ರಿಷ್ಯತಿ ಏತೌ ಅಷ್ಟಾವಾಯತನಾನಿ ಅಷ್ಟೌ ಲೋಕಾಃ ಅಷ್ಟೌ ದೇವಾಃ ಅಷ್ಟೌ ಪುರುಷಾಃ ಸ ಯಸ್ಥಾನ ಪುರುಷಾನ್ ನಿರುಹ್ಯ ಪ್ರತ್ಯುಹ್ಯ ಅತ್ಯಕ್ರಾಮತ್ ತಂ ತು ಔಪನಿಷದಂ ಪುರುಷಂ ಪೃಚ್ಛಾಮಿ ತಂ ಚೇನ್ಮೇ ನ ವಿವಕ್ಷ್ಯಸಿ ಮೂರ್ಧಾತೇ ವಿಪಾತಿ ತಿಷ್ಯತೀತಿ ತಂ ಹನ ಮೇನೇಷಾ ಕಲ್ಯಃ ತಸ್ಯಹ ಮೂರ್ಧಾ ವಿಪಪಾತ ಅಪಿ ಹಾಸ್ಯ ಪರಿಮೋಷಿಣಃ ಅಸ್ತೀನಿ ಅಪಜಹೃಃ ಅನ್ಯತ್ ಮನ್ಯಮಾನಾಃ ಸೊ ವಿ ಸಾ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್ ಯಾಜ್ಞವಲ್ಕ್ಯ ಆಸ್ಕಿಂಗ್ ಶಾಕಲ್ಯ about Aupanishad Purushah, the Nirguna Paramatma, and also threatens him that tam chet me na vivakshyasi. Tam means tam Aupanishadam Purusham Paramatmanam na vivakshyasi. If you don't tell that, then murda te vipatishyati, your head will burst and will fall down. In short, you will die. Up to this are the words of Yajnavalkya. So Shakalyaha tam na mene. Shakalya did not know that Paramatma. He only knows all the, you know, karma kanda and upasana kanda only. Panchavidha purusha, ashtavidha purusha, all those things he knew. And Yajnavalkya does not answer the question, because Shakalya is only a challenger and not Yajnavalkya's student. Therefore, once Yajnavalkya defeats Shakalya, Yajnavalkya's job is over. Therefore, Yajnavalkya does not explain Aupanishad Purushah, but people like us may be curious to know what is that, and therefore, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad itself gives the answer. For that alone, we bring the first two lines of this mantra, which we originally skipped when we discussed this mantra before. So what are those two lines? Sa yesha neti netyatma grihyo nahi grihyate ashiryo nahi shiryate asango nahi sajyate asito na vyatate na rishyati, which gives the definition of Aupanishada Purushah given by Brihadaranyaka itself, not Yajnavalkya. Then one may wonder, it should have been given here only after these questions were asked by Shakalya, not in the beginning of the mantra. Why did then the Upanishad answer the question before itself? And that too, even before Yajnavalkya asked the question. And Shankaracharya says, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad was restless. But we were not, so we waited for a day. So Upanishad loves this discussion of Atma, and was waiting for it. And with all the discussions of Panjavida and Ashtavida Purushaha and all that, perhaps it got bored. So Acharya uses the expression paraya, hastily. Actually, Swamiji tells a small this example. For example, a couple goes to some shopping or some to temple, whatever it is, and comes back home. And in the home, there are other people, maybe the parents, in-laws, whomsoever are there. And they want to narrate their trip to that place, temple or wherever it is. And the husband, he wants to start, and he says a few things. And before he would complete a sentence, the wife will interject and she will start talking. And then before even he would go to the next sentence, she will keep talking and complete the thing before he would complete. So the right position for these two lines should be after tamna mene shakalyaha. So sa yesha neti neti atma should have come. But Upanishad was hasty, so it started to do it earlier. This is an important mantra because it gives the definition of Paramatma, often quoted by Shankaracharya. And the Upanishad itself quotes the same mantra three times. We are going to see them later. In later portions, it occurs in the Upanishad in mantra 4.2.4, that is chapter 4, second Brahmanam, mantra 4. The same line is quoted. Then again, in the fourth chapter, fourth section, 22nd mantra, and also in the fourth chapter, fifth section, and the 15th mantra, ditto, the same mantra is repeated. Now we will see the meaning of this mantra. Saha, Atma, Neti, Neti. In fact, the Neti, Neti portion we have seen before in the second chapter, third Brahmanam, in the sixth mantra. What does it mean? It means Atma is that which is left out after negating everything. Neti, neti, nayiti, nayiti. Refers to Sarva Nishedaha. And what is Atma? Sarva Nisheda Avadihi. Atma is Avadihi, means which remains like the substratum or the Adhishtanam. Sarva Nisheda Avadihi. And why should the Upanishad negate the everything? Why not reveal the Atma directly? We saw this also elaborately before. The reason is Atma cannot be positively pointed out because it is beyond words. Yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasasaha. Anything can be explained by words only when it fulfills five conditions. We also saw that earlier. This is called Shabda Pravritti Nimittani. We saw this in the second chapter, third Brahmanam, in the sixth mantra already. We are only refreshing that here. And what are those factors? Jati, Gunaha, Kriya, Dravya, and Sambandha. Atma does not have all these conditions. Shabda Pravritti Nimitta Abhavat. Atma cannot be explained by words. Therefore, we say, Natatra Chakshur Gachati, Navag Gachati, all that we have seen. Then we may have a doubt. If you say Atma cannot be expressed by words, but you yourself are using the word Atma, then we say, whatever word we use, they are all only mithya words. Assuming some mithya attributes, example, the word Atma, meaning self or subject, we are able to conceive the concept of a subject only because we have an objective world in front of us. Therefore, Atma is called the subject only from the standpoint view of the world. And if we negate the world, the object, Atma cannot be called the subject also. Therefore, from the standpoint of the world, we can name it as Atma, but from the standpoint of itself, even the word Atma cannot be used. Therefore, that is also a mithya word only and not a true word. Similarly, Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Adhishtanam, none of them can be used. In Mandukya Karika, we already saw Gaudapada said, even Advaitam word cannot be used. Then what can be used? Mauna Vyakya. Therefore, Atma is which cannot be revealed through words and what is left out after negating everything. And therefore, Neti Neti Atma. Then Agrihyaha. Sarva Karana Agocharaha. It is not available for any instrument of knowledge. Or Sarva Pramana Agocharaha, which cannot be grasped by anything. And why it is agrihyaha? Nahi grihyate. That is the explanation of the word agrihyaha, because it is not the object of any organ. Similarly, ashiryaha. Ashiryaha means apakshaya rahitaha. It is decayless, jara rahitaha, because na shiryate, does not undergo any change. Similarly, asangaha, it is unrelated, it is unattached, because nahi sajyate, because it can never contact anything. That is why in Mandukya Upanishad also we saw, even subject-object contact, Gaudapada negates as unacceptable, because it is possible only if both enjoy the same degree of reality. According to Veda, Atma, the subject, is paramarthikam, Anatma, the object, is vyavaharikam. How can there can be a sambandha, a samsarga, a sangam between them? I think somebody's speaker is on. Please mute it. Therefore, vishaya vishayi sambandha api na sambhavati, sanyoga sambandha api nasti, and samvaya sambandha nasti, so tadatya sambandha nasti. So in Tarkatha Shastra, all these four types of sambandhas are given, so we negate each of them. Then asitaha, asitaha means never bound. Si, sinoti, sinute, to bind. So therefore, asitaha, that means unbound, unrestricted, unconditioned, unlimited. By what? Desha, kala, vastu. It is not bound by anything. Desha, kala, or vastu. Therefore, it is free. And therefore only, na vyathate, it never undergoes any suffering. Vyatha means dukkha, pain. Atma does not have any sorrow. Gatasun, agatasumscha, nanusochanti panditaha. We already saw in Bhagavad Gita. Jnani knows, I am Atma, asangaha, asitaha. Therefore, aham na vyatate. Then na rishyati. Na nishyati means na nashyati. Does not die, does not perish. Rishdhatu. So, this is the Paramatma. In fact, na jayate, mriyate va kadachite, nayam bhutva, bhavita, vanabhuyaha, the same thing in Gita occurs in the from these lines only. So, this asanga Paramatma, shakalyaha, na mene, he does not know. For not answering that, what is the consequence? Now, come back to the last line. Tasyaha murdha vipapata. This is the tragedy that happened, as I mentioned in the last class. His head burst or fell down. In short, he died. Tasyaha murdha vipapata.
Not Gocha only. Putya.
Yes.
Gocha, rendu putya, moonu putya.
Somebody's microphone is on. We are hearing domestic conversations. Please turn it off. Not stop. Not only that, his suffering is not over. I think somebody, did you turn off the microphone, please? I don't know whose microphone is on. I'm not able to see here. Okay. So his suffering is not over, it seems. He had some disciple, it seems, the Shakalya, so his head burst and he died. And suffering did not over. It seems he had some disciple, and all his disciples burnt, you know, his body. They all burnt his body.
WhatsApp audio.
Perhaps we don't know. They collected his bones for doing all the samskaras, the antyeshti samskaras and all of them. And they were to do the ritual in some cremation place. Then what happens? When the disciples were carrying the bundle of bones, some robbers came and they thought, these people are carrying something valuable. So they took that away, snatched them away from them. So the bones also, everything gone. And so Shakalya could not get even the antyeshti samskara. And that is it here. Asya astini parimoshinaha apajahruhu. So Shakalya's bones, they took away astini. And why did they take the bones? Because they thought they are some valuable. So when we hear this story, we may feel what a tragic end and all that. But at the end, Shankaracharya, he writes, one should not be carried away by this story. Whether really it happened or not, that is immaterial, might not have happened also. The significance of the story is never insult a Brahmajnani. Never insult anybody, definitely a Brahmajnani. Politely behave with them, which Shakalya did not do. Because remember, at the end of Tattvabodha, we already have seen one who prizes a Brahmajnani gets all his punya, and one who insults him will get all his papam. So this, the significance is what? Not in the transference of punyam or papam, but never insult, criticize, misbehave with a jnani. If you are able to do any stotra, good. If not, better keep quiet. But never misbehave with a jnani. With anybody, definitely a jnani. So let us not also worry about the story part. So Shankaracharya also tells, this story is also borrowed from the Karmakanda portion of the Shukla Yajurveda. As I told earlier, Yajnavalkya is from Shukla Yajurveda, where this story is given in a slightly different form. Shakalya has got a curse, etc., from in that story, and that is what is given there. So it is a borrowed story only. With this, Yajnavalkya has defeated Shakalya. And so he is now rightly eligible to take away all the 1,000 calves. Continuing, Atho Vacha Brahmanaha Bhagavantaha Yova Kama Kama Yatem Samaprichatum Sarve Vama Prichatam Yova Kama Yatem Tamva Prichamim Sarvan Vava Prichamitim Teha Brahmanaha Nadadrushuhum. Now there is a silence in Janaka's court. Yajnavalkya does not know whether any more challenger will come or not. And until he answered all the questions, Yajnavalkya cannot take the cows. So they are all still there. All the cows are standing. Therefore, someone has to break the silence. So Yajnavalkya himself addresses the Brahmanas now. So the Upanishad says, Ataha Uvacha. Because from Tamna Mene onwards, this story, etc., are by Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. After a brief silence, Yajnavalkya uvacha. Hey Brahmanaha Bhagavantaha, O revered Brahmins, if any of you want to challenge me, please come forward. Yaha Vaha. Vaha means Nishdharane Shashti Bhakti. So Yushmakam Madhye, among you, or if you are afraid to challenge me alone, you can come together also and challenge me. Yaha Vaha Kamayate Sarveva Ma Prichata. Or if you don't want that also, I will ask you a question. Until then, the debate will not be over till I win. So I will ask you a question and you answer. Therefore, he says, Yo vaha kamayate tam vaha prichami. And again, he says, if you are afraid of coming alone to answer, then all of you can answer together also. Sarvan va vaha prichami iti. So what was their response? Teha Brahmanaha na dadrushuhu. No one had the courage to come forward either to ask or to answer. Drish means to be courageous. Therefore, Yajnavalkya himself decided to put a general question to all people in common, which comes in the next portion onwards. And the 28th mantra consists of 7 verses. We should take all of them together as one mantra. So Yajnavalkya asked a common question to all the Brahmanas. Let us read. Tanha etaihi shlokaihi papracham yatha vrikshu vanaspatihi tathaiva purusho mrisham tasya lomani parnani tvagasya utpatika bahihi tvacha evasya rudhiram prasyandi tvacha utpataham tasmad tat atrinnat praithim Raso Vrikshadiva Hatatem Mam Sanyasya Shakarani Shakaranim Kinatam Snava Tatstiram Astinyantarato Daruni Majja Majopamakrita. Up to this, we will see first. So Yajnavalkya's question is almost the same as that he asked Shakalya earlier. It is about Paramatma only, as Jagat Karanam. So the difference is, previously the universe was seen as Ashtavida and Panchavida Purushaha, but here instead of taking the universe, the Jagat, Yajnavalkya takes the Jiva and asks about the source of Jiva. And before asking that, Yajnavalkya makes a beautiful comparison of a Jiva and a tree, Vriksha. Now, it is not new to us because the Vriksha example in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita itself, we have seen universe itself is compared to a Vriksha. And here many parts of a Jiva are compared to that of a tree. We won't see word by word meaning, only a comparative study we will see. And the leaves of the tree is equal to the hairs of Jiva. Leaves are parnani of the tree equals to lomani of Jiva. Lomani means the hairs. And then the bark of a tree seems to have three layers. And the first layer of the bark is equal to the skin of Jiva. That is bahihi utpatika in the shloka. Utpatika is equal to tvak. Tvak means this out the skin. And tree has a liquid essence inside that is called a sap. And that is equated to the blood of Jiva. That is utpataha is equal to rudiram. And the second layer of the bark of the tree is equal to the flesh of Jiva or mamsam. That is shakalani, mamsani. But in the Upanishad, it is shakarani. It's a Vedic usage. It is shakalani. And the third layer of the bark is equal to the tendon or the sinew, a fibrous white cord that connects the muscle and the bone. So kinatam, kinatam equal to snava. In the Upanishad, it is called snava. And the sixth comparison is the main part of the tree is wood that is compared to the bone of the Jiva. So daru means the wood of the tree equals to asti, the bone. And within the wood is the inner pith. So it is equal to the bone marrow of Jiva. It is called majja in the tree. The same thing also called majja in a Jiva also. It is a soft white material which obtains within the bone. So the equation is what now? Tree is equal to body of the Jiva. The leaves of the tree are hair. The outer layer of the bark is the skin. The sap of the tree is the blood. Middle layer of the tree, the bark is the flesh. And the inner layer of the bark is sinew, and the wood equal to bone. And pith is the marrow, bone marrow. Because of this, Jiva can be compared to a tree. This is the summary of the first three verses of the 28th mantra. So until now, Yajnavalkya's question has not been raised. He has done only the comparison of a Vriksha and a Jiva. Then the question comes next that we will read in the next few verses together. Yad Vriksho Vriknaha Rohati Moolat Navatara Punaha Martyasvin Mrityuna Vriknaha Kasman Moolat Prarohati Reta Sahiti Ma Vochata Jivatastat Prajayate Dana Ruha Iva Vai Vrikshaha Anjasa Pretya Sambhavaha Yat Samulam Avriheyuhu Vriksham Na Punara Bhavet Martyasvin Mrityuna Vriknaha Kasman Moolat Prarohati Jata Yevana Jayate Konvenam Janayet Punaha. So we will see up to this three verses and the first line of the fourth verse. And Yajnavalkya puts the question. He says, when a tree is cut, it grows again. It is not destroyed. If this is true, the same must be the case with a Jiva also. Jiva also will be born again. And he uses the word Mrityuna. Mrityuna means when Jiva is cut by Lord Yamadharma Raja, Jiva also must come to existence again from some origin, as the tree is born, reborn from some origin when it is cut. And what is the source or origin? If we analyze, the question relates to Jagat Karanam or Jiva Karanam అండ్ యాజ్ఞవల్క్య హింసెల్ఫ్ కన్సిడర్స్ ఎ ఫ్యూ ఆప్షన్స్ అండ్ డిస్మిసెస్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్. సో త్రీ పాసిబుల్ ఆన్సర్స్ ఆర్ టేకన్. అండ్ వాట్ ఆర్ ద పాసిబుల్ ఆన్సర్స్? నెంబర్ వన్, ద ట్రీ డస్ నాట్ గ్రో అగైన్, therefore there is no question of source of regrowth. So for this possible answer, Yajnavalkya says, yes, I admit that the tree cannot grow again if it is destroyed along with its roots. If not, it will grow again. Similarly, Jiva will not be born if he is destroyed along with the moola ajnanam, the root ignorance. If not, Jiva also will be born again. Therefore, question is, what is the origin of Ajnani Jiva? And when the root is not cut, tree grows again based on our own experience. We see it. So, Dhanaruhaha, from the seed or branches, it comes back. So, the answer one is ruled out. And number two answer, some may say, Jiva is born again from Purusha Bijam or Retas, the seed of male. And Yajnavalkya says that is also not possible answer because Retas requires a Jiva. Therefore, due to Anyonya Ashraya Doshaha, that means mutual dependence, this term is familiar to us, we have seen it earlier, this is also not acceptable. My question is, from where the Jiva and Purusha Bijam are born? So answer two is also rule that. And the third possible answer is Swabhava Vadaha, some kind of an evolution theory. Creation is not a cyclic process. Then only there is question of rebirth. Only when there is a cyclic process, there is question of rebirth and all that thing. So rebirth is like recycling. We are all recycled people. Therefore, question about rebirth is possible only if we admit a cycle. But we say it is an accident. Somehow it came, according to scientists. Somehow Big Bang happened. And so many things were thrown out. They are going away and away from each other. Even now, the creation is expanding. And at a particular time, accidentally, a living being was born. Thereafter, because of various situations, the theory of natural choice or something like that, the Jiva evolved. So single cell to all that thing, to a monkey, to a human and all that. So there is no question of a Jiva appearing again. A Jiva comes by accident and dies away. There is extinction of species, but no question of recycling of species. So another creation is out of question. Then how long will it continue? It depends. In fact, for example, a huge meteorite, it might hit the earth. And all living beings can perish also. Therefore, creation is a linear process, not a cyclical process. Therefore, every Jiva is born alone. There is no question of rebirth. So Yajnavalkya uses the expression Jataha Eva in the Shloka. So no question of coming back. So when there is no question of reappearance, where is the question of a source or origin of reappearance? This is the third possible answer known as Swabhava Vadaha, accident theory or evolution theory. For this, Yajnavalkya does not give an elaborate answer. Yajnavalkya only negates that, saying it is not true. Jiva is reborn, is recycled. There is no question of Jivas dying and fresh Jivas coming. That is not there. So Shankaracharya and other commentators elaborate this answer. They talk about the defect of this Swabhava Vadaha. In technical language, this defect is called Krithahana Akritha Agama Doshaha. Krithahana Akritha Agama Doshaha. And what is that dosha? Suppose a Jiva dies totally. When another Jiva is born, the birth of a new Jiva is not the rebirth of a previous Jiva, because you don't accept rebirth cycle. Therefore, when one Jiva dies, its unexhausted Punya Papam will remain without fructification, because Jiva is gone permanently. This will be a great moral defect. Chaos in the creation will be there. In the same way, when a Jiva is born, the question comes, what is the basis for the birth of this jiva? For which we have an answer, which is purva punya papam determines the present jiva's condition. But in Swabhavavada, there is no answer to this question. Because there is no purva janma, no recycling of jivas, and therefore condition of jiva becomes accidental. It is chance based. So one jiva may be animal, another may be plant, another may be human, male, female, healthy, sick, born with gold spoon, silver spoon, no spoon, all that. All these become accidental. And once we accept accident or chance, it means the universe is not governed by moral laws, dharma, and all that. And that is not acceptable. Because scientists accept that the physical universe is governed by physical laws. There is no accidents in the physical universe. That is why science itself is possible. Theories, experiments are all possible. So the very possibility of science is because of the physical laws. Extending that, we say, if the universe is governed by physical laws, at a deeper level, the universe must be governed by moral laws also. That is dharma. Moral laws, we call it dharma. Therefore, there cannot be an accident. So if a jiva has got certain experience, it is only because of purva janma, which presupposes a cyclic process. And therefore, Swabhavavada is also not acceptable. So what are the three possible answers now? Number one, tree does not grow. Yajnavalkya says, not true. We find it grows again if roots are okay. Second answer, jiva is born out of Purusha Bijam. For which Yajnavalkya answers, what is the source of both the jiva and Purusha Bijam? Therefore, it does not answer also. And the third aspect is Swabhavavada. Yajnavalkya dismisses that also outright. Yajnavalkya's question remains unanswered. Now, if you see the seventh sloka, line one, Jataha eva na jayate. Jataha eva, that means it is Swabhavavadaha. Jataha eva is Swabhavavadaha within quotation. So, Yajnavalkya's refutation is na. So, we should read it as na. Jataha eva na. And then jayate is born separately. Na means na is for Swabhavavadaha. So, it's not correct. Jayate, it is born. Since all possible answers are refuted, Yajnavalkya's questions, konu enam punaha janayet. That is his question. Konu enam punaha janayet. Who is the creator of all these jivas, or what is the moolam of jiva vriksha? So if those brahmanas were well versed, for example, in Kathopanishad or in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, they would have immediately said, Urdvam, Olam, Adashakam, and all that thing. Urdvam means Brahman here. So they did not know Brahman. So, Konu Yenam Janayet Punaha. This expression actually Gaudapada also has quoted in Mandukya Karika. Because I am saying all this because we have done Mandukya Karika also. In the Mandukya Upanishad. In third, chapter 25th mantra, this question comes. Kon Venam Janayet Punaha. Kon Venam Janayet Punaha. So with that, Yajnavalkya has defeated the Brahmins since they could not answer his question regarding the moolam of Jiva Vriksha. And Yajnavalkya doesn't answer the question himself because his aim is to defeat the scholars. Therefore, what is the position now? All their questions Yajnavalkya has answered, but none of them could answer Yajnavalkya's question. Therefore, Shankaracharya writes a note here that the whole story part is over because the purpose of Janaka's arrangement of the debate is over. We should remember the context. Janaka arranging a debate to find out the most scholarly person, if you remember the term, Brahmavittamaha, and offered to give 1,000 cows with the horns, you know, laid with all the gold and all that thing. So Yajnavalkya took all the cows now. So at that time, and he asked his Shishya to take all the cows. And all the Brahmins, they got wild in Janaka's assembly as to how can he take the prize money, assuming greatness. It is arrogance. So Yajnavalkya answered secretary to them and said that he needed the cows because he has got a big ashrama, a lot of children and all. So he needed the cows, and so he took it. And then he also said that incidentally, if they would like to question him, he would try to answer them also. This is the context, if you remember all that story part in the beginning. Therefore, the cows were remaining. The debate went on. Verdict was not made. Now that Yajnavalkya answered all their questions and none of them could answer Yajnavalkya's question, the tournament is over. So Yajnavalkya has won the debate. Story part is over. Now Shankaracharya says that Yajnavalkya took all the cows to his ashrama. Now the Shruti comes back. Shruti means Upanishad comes back. And Shruti understands that those who read this will still have questions in their mind, like us. Because the question Yajnavalkya has asked the Brahmins, Konu Yenam Janayet Punaha, that is not answered. So the next two lines give the answer given by the Upanishad itself. It is not Yajnavalkya's answer, it is the answer from the Upanishad. Let us read those two lines. Vijnanam Anandam Brahmam Ratir Dhatuhu Parayanam Tishtamanasya Tadvida Iti Iti Navamam Brahmanam Iti Bhragadaranyakopanishadi Tritiyodhyayaha. So this concludes the 9th Brahmanam and also the 3rd chapter of Bhragadaranyaka Upanishad. So these are the words of whom? Bhragadaranyaka Upanishads. What is the Moolam of Jiva or Samsara Vriksha? Is the question. The answer is given here as Brahman. So Maya Sahitam Brahma, Brahman assisted by Maya. We should always remember that Upanishad uses the word Brahman loosely. It will not always say whether it is Brahman is Maya Sahitam or Maya Rahitam. Sopadikam or Nirupadikam. It won't say. It is our job to find out whether Brahman is with Upadi or not. And how to find that out? The context will show that. So what is the moolam of samsara vriksha? Brahman. And what is the nature of Brahman? Vijnanam anandam brahma. That's what Shloka says. So Brihadaranyaka Upanishad itself defines Brahman as vijnanam anandam. Vijnanam refers to chit, awareness, and anandam refers to ananda. Their Vijnanam Ananda means Chidanandam Brahma, Chit and Ananda. This is a very famous line and very often quoted by Shankaracharya. Because to prove that Brahman is Ananda Swarupaha, Brahman is Satchidananda, we don't have one single quotation showing all three together. The word Satchidananda we use in practical usage, we use the word Satchidananda. But it does not come in the Upanishad together. Sat, Chit, Ananda, all three together. Then we have to give it as two separate quotations. For Sat, we say, Sadeva Somya Idamagra Asit Ekameva Advitiyam. In Chandogya, we have already seen. So Sat. And Vijnanam Anandam Brahma. In Brihadaranyaka, we just now read. So that Brahman is Chit Ananda. So joining Chandogya and Brihadaranyaka, we show that Brahman is Satchidananda Swarupam. And therefore, this line becomes an important quotation. And here, the word Vijnanam should be carefully understood. We are referring to a particular knowledge of an object, which is a result of an intellectual process. When we refer to a particular knowledge of any object, it is a result of an intellectual process known as Pramana Janyam. By using various pramanas, we get the knowledge of, for example, Ghatajnanam, Patajnanam, all those things. They are called Vrittijnanam, intellectual knowledge, which are thought modes. Vritti is thought modes. Even Brahmajnanam, arising out of Vedanta Pramana, is an intellectual knowledge. It is still a Vrittijnanam taking place in mind. And the word Vijnanam is often used for Vritti Jnanam. In fact, in the 7th chapter, the title Jnana Vijnana Yogaha, the title of the chapter, the word Vijnanam does not refer to the Vijnana. In the Bhagavad Gita, in several places, Jnana Vijnana Triptatma, in all those places, Vijnanam is an intellectual process. knowledge which arises out of study. But in this context, in Brihadaranya context here, Vijnanam does not refer to the intellectual vritti or process which arises out of study. Here the word Vijnanam refers to the eternal awareness, which is not born in the intellect, which is the illuminator of the intellect itself, and which can exist even without intellect. We know all these, but to remain in this context, we refresh them. So to differentiate, we use another word, Swarupa Jnanam. So we have now two words. One is called Vritti Jnanam, and another is called Swarupa Jnanam. Vritti Jnanam, it raises in the intellect, and Swarupa Jnanam does not raise in the intellect. Then what about Aham Brahmasmi Brahma Jnanam? Aham Brahmasmi, we say, there's also Brahma Jnanam. Is it Vritti Jnanam or Swarupa Jnanam? We should be very careful. Brahma Jnanam comes under Vritti only. It is an intellectual process only. We should never have doubts or vagueness about this. Aham Brahmasmi Jnanam is Vritti Jnanam. It is an intellectual process, which is the result of Vedanta Shravanam, Mananam, and Nididhyasanam. And if we say Brahma Jnanam is Swarupa Jnanam, what is the harm? If we say it is Swarupa Jnanam, then it is eternally there, because that is Swarupam. It need not raise at all. And it need not raise, we don't need then any Pramanam. If it does not rise, then we don't need any Pramanam. Then we need Pramanam for Nitya Brahman. We don't need a guru. We don't need all these classes. None of them. Therefore, let it be very clear. Brahma Jnanam is Vritti Jnanam, called Akhandakara Vritti Jnanam. Another term is Akhandakara Vritti Jnanam, Nitya Jnanam it is. Whereas Brahman is Swarupa Jnanam, Ajanya Jnanam, it is Nitya Jnanam. It is Nitya Jnanam, Swarupa Jnanam, Ajanya Jnanam, Nirvikara Jnanam. In English, it is the objectless awareness. So here Vijnanam is awareness. Then the next word is Ananda. And Shankaracharya makes a small study, analysis of the word Ananda. And he establishes that the word Ananda here does not refer to any experiential pleasure. So Brahmananda is not experiential pleasure, which is a very important aspect to note. Because many people claim that they have experienced Brahmananda in Nirvikalpaka Samadhi and all that. It is all not true, because Brahmananda is never an object of experience. Shankaracharya says it is not Samvedya Sukham, experiential pleasure. Then what it is? It is you yourself. Brahmananda is you yourself, which is ever the subject, the experiencer, which is never the object of experience, never a state of experience. So how to understand the logic behind Brahmananda is not an experiential pleasure? Remember, word Anandam is used as Brahman is equal to Ananda. Since both are equated, Brahman and Anandam are equated, the nature of Ananda should be the same as nature of Brahman. Because Shruti equates Anandam and Brahman. Now, if we take Anandam as experiential pleasure, then it can never be equal to Brahman. Because we will see the three reasons for that. Why Anandam, Brahman is not experiential pleasure. Anandam cannot be Brahman if it is experiential pleasure. What are three reasons? Number one, Brahman is never an object of experience. Anya devata diditat aviditat adi yet vacham anabhyatitam yen manasa na manute, all that we have seen. So whereas all experiential pleasures are objects of experience, therefore experiential pleasure and Brahman can never be same, one and the same. And number two reason, Brahman is nirvikaraha, it is changeless. Whereas all experiential pleasures are subject to taradamyam, gradations. There are savikara, so Brahman is nirvikara. So Brahman is, and third reason is, Brahman is anagamapayi, agamapayi, anagamapayi. Anagamapayi means free from arrival and departure. Whereas all experiential pleasures, including mystic experience material pleasures, they are all agama payi only, subject to arrival and departure. Therefore, experiential pleasure can never be equal to anandam brahman. This is not samvedya sukham. But we should be careful. Experiential pleasures, mystic experiences, they are not rejected by Vedanta. We should be very careful. We don't reject all those mystic experiences or experiential pleasures. We don't say mystic pleasures are non-existent. We don't say that. What we say is mystic experiential pleasure has nothing to do with Brahmananda, which is definition of Brahman. So Brahma Swarupa Anandam Na Bhavati. All these mystic experiences, all these experiential pleasures, they don't become Brahma Swarupa Anandam. That's a very subtle difference. Then how to explain that? We need not explain that. Shastra itself does. All experiential pleasures are not Brahmananda. But what are they? They are Brahma Pratibhamba Ananda, which is Anandamaya Kosha Ananda, as discussed in Taittiriya Upanishad. Anandamaya Kosha Ananda. Tasya Priyame Vashiraha Modo Dakshina Pakshaha Pramoda Uttara Pakshaha Ananda Atma Teye Shatam Manushya Gandharvanam Anandaha. So all those things we have seen. So in all these contexts, the Anandamaya Kosha and Ananda Mimamsa, in all of them, we have seen in Taittiriya Upanishad, they are all Vritti Pratibimbita Ananda. Whereas original Brahmananda, original Bimba Ananda is never available for experience. Then what is it? It is myself, the experiencer, the very subject. Thus, the word Ananda has two meanings now. One is Vachyartha, primary meaning, and another is Lakshyartha, the secondary meaning. One is primary, another is secondary meaning. See, now, and the primary meaning is experiential pleasure. Secondary meaning of Ananda is non-experiential, I, the experiencer, the very subject, the witness, the sakshi. Therefore, here, the word Anandam Brahma does not refer to Vachyartha, but refers to Lakshyartha. All these terms, Vachyartha and Lakshyartha and all, I expect them to be familiar because we have been using it many times. So to avoid this confusion alone, when the word Ananda is used in its secondary meaning, we avoid the translation, happiness, joy, bliss, ecstasy, pleasure, all those English words, they give only experiential pleasures only. Translation of Ananda is what? Is Ananda only. If you want to translate Ananda, it is Ananda. It is like Dharma. Dharma you cannot translate precisely in any language. Dharma is Dharma. Same way Ananda is Ananda. And the best word, if at all one wants to translate in English, it can be fullness or Purnatvam. Hence Brahman is Anandaha is equal to Anantaha. Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. In that Anantam, it is Ananda. Thus, Vijnanam Anandam Brahma. Brahman is of the nature of awareness or fullness, and that Brahman I am. Now, having done this analysis, we will now go to the next part of this verse. Ratir Dhatuhu Parayanam. Here the Upanishad says, Brahman itself as Ishwara is the shelter or the refuge of all the people. And here the word Ratihi, Ratihi means refers to wealth. Data means giver. So Ratihi Data means wealth giver or a charitable person, we can say. Ratehe Datuhu, Dhanasya Datuhu. So Dhanakartu, Dhanakartu is that person. Now here the word Dhanakarta refers to all ritualists who practice Vedic discipline. For them, Brahman is the protector, is the shelter, is the parayanam. And what type of Brahman? Sopatikam Brahma or Maya Sakitam Brahma or Ishwara is the refuge. It is not Nirupatikam Brahma. It is Sopatikam Brahma or Maya Sakitam Brahma or Ishwara. And what is the significance of this line? Why do we say for all the Vaidika people, Vedic discipline, who follow Vedic discipline, Ishwara is the refuge? Ishwara is the protector in the form of Karma Pala Data. For leading a Vedic life, The local people may help or not, the world may help or not, government may help them or not, but one person will always take note of my dharma karma, and that person is Ishvara. And that is why they say dharma will take care of us. Therefore, karma pala dhatru rupena sopadikam brahma parayanam bhavati. Sharanam bhavati. This is with regard to karma kanda people. Now in the next line, the Upanishad says, the very same Brahman is the refuge or shelter or protector for even the spiritual seekers, the mumukshus. Because we should remember, a jnani's strength comes from where? In chapter 3, Bhagavad Gita, we say, yastu atma ratirevasyat, atma truptasya manavaham, atman evacha santuttaha, tasya karyam na vidyate. So in Taittiriya Upanishad also, we have said, adrishye anatmiye anurikte anilayaneya bhayam pratishtam vindate. Again, Brahmananda Valli. So jnani's shelter is atma. And atma is none other than Brahman. Therefore, for the jnani also, Brahman is the shelter. So for even ajnani, karmi also, Brahman is the shelter. For jnani also, Brahman is the shelter. Then what is the difference between them? For ajnani, Brahman is shelter in its sopadika rupam, as different from himself. Sopadika rupena bedena parayana, for a karmakandi. Whereas for a jnani, Brahman is in nirupadika rupena abedena rupena. Brahman is the shelter. And that is said in the second line of this Brahmanam, tadvidaha. Tadvidaha means Brahmavidaha for a jnani. Not an ordinary jnani. One who has done shravanam also is a jnani. But what he is missing? He knows Brahmas, aham brahmasmi, but he doesn't have nishtha. So nishtha is important, and that is emphasized here. So tishtamanasya. So jnani who is a brahmanishtha. So tishtamanasya is actually a Vedic usage, should be tishtataha. Therefore, tadvidaha for a brahmajnani, so tishtamanaha, who is brahmanishtha, for such a person, we have to now complete the sentence by adding parayanam. So Brahman is parayanam or shelter for him. Also Brahman is protector. So ratehe dhatuhu parayanam, brahmanishtasya parayanam, brahman. If you want to go still subtler, for a karma kandi, Brahman is parayanam as nimitta karanam, and for a jnani, Brahman is upadana karana rupena parayanam. So in karma kanda, stress is on nimitta karanam, for jnana kanda, it is an upadana karma. With this, Brahadaranyaka Upanishad has answered Yajnavalkya's questions to the Brahmanas. The answer is what? Brahman as Moolam for all Jivas, which concludes the ninth Brahmanam and also the third chapter. So before we conclude, let me as usual do a small summary of the third chapter. If I overshoot by a couple of minutes, stay with me. The third chapter consists of 9 sections or Brahmanams, and of these, the first 3 deal with the Upasanas, and the next 5 deal with Brahma Vidya, and the last Brahmanam deals with both Upasana and Brahma Vidya. This is the bird's eye view of this chapter. And the first Brahmanam is Ashwala Brahmanam, because he was the challenger. And the story is introduced, that is Janaka arranging a debate for finding the greatest Vedic scholar with a prize money in the form of cows with gold capped horns and all that thing that I already mentioned. And as a discussion between Ashwala and Yajnavalkya, we get 4 Karmanga Upasanas and 4 Sampad Upasanas. Karmanga Upasanas are meditations practiced as part of a ritual for which Brahmaloka is the phalam, as given in that Brahmana. And Sampadupasanas are meditation in which an ordinary loka is seen as a higher loka or an extraordinary loka, seeing the ordinary as an extraordinary thing. For example, seeing a stone as an idol of God. So this is the first Brahmanam. There is no special mantra in this Brahmana. This all I mentioned during the discussion itself. And the second Brahmanam is called Arthabhaga Brahmanam, after the name of the challenger. in this Brahmanam, it is said even Hiranyagarbha is limited, conditioned by his organs and the objects. And the organs are called graha, and objects are called atigraha. This is to show karmanga upasanas and sambad upasanas will lead to only limited Brahman or Hiranyagarbha. That means upasana cannot lead to moksha. This is conveyed through this Brahman. And here there is an important mantra, the 11th mantra, which says through jnana alone one gets moksha. And the third Brahmanam is called Bujju Brahmanam, that deals with dimensions of Brahmaloka to show it is also limited. It is named after the challenger, that is Bujju, who up to this we get the upasana prakatana. Now the first three Brahmanas. And now the Brahma Vidya portion starts from the fourth Brahmanam onwards, that is called Ushastha Brahmanam, name after the name of the challenger. It is important because the famous definition of Atma Swarupam or Brahma Swarupam that is given here. And it's in this, the important mantras are mantra number 1 and 2. In fact, there are only 2 mantras and they both are important. And the next Brahmanam is called Kahola Brahmanam, named after the challenger Kahola. And in this, Atma Brahma Aikyam, that is revealed in this Brahmanam. And the sannyasa is emphasized as a supporting sadhana. And Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam start as direct sadhana, important Brahmanam with one important mantra we mentioned. And the sixth Brahmanam is known as Gargi Brahmanam. Here we find an analysis of the word Sarvantaraha, the inner essence. Here Gargi asked the series of questions to know the Sarvantaraha, and Yajnavalkya goes up to Brahmaloka as the inner essence. And the next inner essence is Hiranyagarbha or Brahmaji, who is not available for logical discussion. Thereafter, Gargi does not ask questions, and there is no important mantra in this Brahmanam also. And the seventh Brahmanam is Antaryami Brahmanam, a famous Brahmanam. It gives the definition of Hiranyagarbha and Ishvara. The only difference is Hiranyagarbha is known as Sutram and Ishvara as Antaryami and Akasha. Antaryami and Akasha. And it is known as Antaryami Brahmanam, not because the questioner is some Antaryami. Here the question is Uddalaka Aruni. Can be called as Uddalaka Brahmanam also. Since Antaryami is discussed, it is called Antaryami Brahmanam. And there are many important mantras in this Brahmanam. Mantra 2, Mantra 15, Mantra 23. All these mantras. And the eighth Brahmanam is known as Akshara Brahmanam. Here Gargi continues with her questions regarding Sarvantaraha. Already she discussed half of that in the sixth Brahmanam, and another half she is discussing in this eighth Brahmanam. Here Hiranyagarbha is the inner essence of Brahmaloka, and Ishvara is the inner essence of Hiranyagarbha, and Aksharam is inner essence of Ishvara. So Brahmaloka go to Hiranyagarbha, and from Hiranyagarbha go to Ishvara, and from Ishvara go to Aksharam. And that Aksharam is Sarvantaraha here, up to the inner essence. Up to Ishvara is Sagunam, and Aksharam is final one, and it is Nirguna. So this Brahmanam is called Akshara Brahmanam because Aksharam is beautifully discussed here. And the important mantras are number 7 to 11. 7 to 11, all those mantras are important mantras. And here alone, we get Jnanadeva Kaivalyam. And here we get the definition of Brahmanas. Those who do not have Jnanam is here called Kripanaha. 9th and final Brahmanam, known as Shakalya Brahmanam, after the name of the challenger Shakalya. Here we get 4 topics, of which the first 3 topics, they deal with Hiranyagarbha, and they are Hiranyagarbha Stuti, glorification of Hiranyagarbha, Ashtavidha Hiranyagarbha Upasana, Panchavidha Hiranyagarbha Upasana, and all that. And the final topic is Atma Swarupa. Yajnavalkya, he asks a question regarding Atma, and Shakalya could not answer. and Brihadaranyaka Upanishad answers, giving the definition of Atma Swarupam. These are the four topics, and the important mantras in this Brahmanam are the 26th mantra and the 7th verse of the 28th mantra. As I told, 28th mantra has several verses. The 7th verse is the most important one. So, which gives the definition of Atma. And the other gives the famous definition of Vijnanam, Anandam, Brahma, which we saw just now. So, both are definitions of Atma given by the Upanishad. With this, the Shakalya Brahmanam is also over. The three Brahmanams dealing with Upasana, five Brahmanams dealing with Brahma Vidya, and one Brahmanam dealing with Upasana and Brahma Vidya in this chapter. So with this, we will conclude this chapter and we will go to the next chapter, chapter 4, in the next class. Yo Veda Dau Swara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishtitaha Tasya Prakriti Leenasya Yaparasa Maheshwaraha Sri Krishna Namaste.